Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. So, we know that the Rockets aren't going to be any good, right? I mean, we know, with yeah. especially as young as they are. I mean, your most talented player is Christian Wood, who was, you know, he just stormed on the scene last year. A guy that was virtually unknown in this city before he signed the $42 million deal. And then you were like, what the heck? And then last year he flashed brilliance, and he also flashed injury concerns. So now you got Jalen Green as well. So you got a nice start. You've got a guy who's had some problems before in Kevin Porter Jr., and hopefully those are behind him. We'll see whether or not they are. He did have an issue during the season with the strip club and his buddy and all that stuff that went on. But this team was the worst in the NBA. It was unwatchable. It didn't help that with all the COVID restrictions, that there was no people there. You could not have found a more, not undesirable, but certainly a deader place to try and watch. I can't remember. I went to a few games last year, and it was like, wow, this atmosphere is the worst I've ever been to for any sporting event. Mm-hmm. But it was in large part because, well, they sucked, and COVID. Nobody was there, and you couldn't go there. So it couldn't have gotten any worse for the organization, for the fan base, for everything. It was awful. Now, there is reason to be excited about this, though, with the addition of Jalen Green, with Christian Wood coming back again, with, signings like this, with hopefully Kevin Porter will be, a more mature and a better player than he was last year. They're not going to win anything, but they're building towards, it's going to take a while. It took Golden State a while. I'm not even putting them on Golden State, but, it's going to take a while. How many years do you put up with this? If you can sign Christian Wood to an extension, build around him and Jalen Green and possibly Porter or someone else, because you're going to have another draft coming up next year where hopefully you'll get somebody that's exciting.
I think here's the way I look at this, and I think we've seen it with the Astros, so it's not that hard to pick this out. You need winning to get the people who follow just winners, and there are a lot of people who are like that and who are Astros fans now, hardcore fans, because the Astros won. So now, now they follow the Astros. They weren't when they weren't winning. They weren't when they were first coming back in 15, but once they won in 17 or went on the run, they became Astros fans. The same thing's going to happen with the Rockets. Once you win, you get the hardcore, you get the people who really want to be part of a winning run, they'll come back. But if you're competitive, if you hustle, if you play hard, if you're a likable team, which I think really matters, to be honest with you, I don't think the Texans have been very likable, but I think the Astros have been likable for a long time. With the cast of players they've had, the way they got along, the enjoyment they got from playing the game. If you see the same thing with the Rockets, they enjoy playing the game. There's energy. There's fun in their basketball. I think people will come out. Is it going to be packed? No, it's not going to be packed. But I think what you're going to do is build your next set of fans and your next big fan base. So I think as long as you are more competitive, there were games this year where you could tell the Rockets' level of care was just not nearly high enough. But to their credit and Steven Silas's credit, they actually had, you know, even at the end of the season while the offense was crappy, they still were defending. I thought they still had some defensive energy for the most part. Only in like the last 6 to 8 games where I was like, ugh, this is brutal. But I think there will be people who will enjoy watching the Rockets, but they need to be likable and fun and competitive.
Yeah.
Like play hard.
Yeah, play hard. Yeah, compete. They're going to get blown out some. But yeah, they have to be a team that hustles, and there's got to be care. There's got to be try hard. There's got to be. And I think they'll be fun to watch. I do. I think that it's going to be entertaining to watch this team grow, stay behind them. How long will the fan base stay behind them? I think the fan base abandoned them last year, but for good reason. It was just awful. I think the fan base in large part is going to be abandoning the Texans this year, and for good reason, because it's awful. But they'll be back. I think people will be back. You're right. You got to start to win.
Like NBA timelines generally. I mean, you have some exceptions, like Larry Bird won at I think he won really early, like 1981, so a couple years out of college maybe, but he was like a 4-year college player. I think he was 24 when he won. Generally, now NBA titles are won by guys no earlier than 26 years old, 27, 28, sometimes later.
Unless they're latch-ons.
Right.
Yes.
Like but Kyrie winning with LeBron.
Yeah, but if you're the star player, the legit number one, you generally do not win that title till you're in your late 20s or getting there. Like Giannis won at 26, but he had been through some battles. So if Jalen Green is your guy, the number one, if he doesn't start competing for titles till he's 26, 27, that is 7-8 years from now.
Well, if you give us, like Giannis, you mentioned Giannis. If you give us a journey like Giannis was on, I mean, the Bucks have been relevant for 3 or 4 years now.
But Giannis is an all-timer. Great. Jalen Green would have to be at that level to make that run happen earlier. Like, Giannis legit going to be one of the best players to ever play. I don't know if Jalen Green has that potential. You certainly hope so.
Yep.
So let's just say he has a normal, really, really good player timeline, and you combine him with other players, and by 26, 27, 28, that area, we are competing. Or the Rockets are competing, and they are a legit contender. Is that okay?
It's a long time, but yeah.
It is.
It's a long time. As long as they're showing progress every year, yes. As long as they're showing progress. And now all of a sudden from, you know, competitive, winning, you know, 30 games to 40 games. To 50, well, 50 is, you know, you're a pretty good basketball team. But, you know, if you see progress going along and adding pieces and making smart moves like they have been.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get Brian in here. He wants to talk about it. What do you say, Brian?
All right. So, first off, I will say that, first off, front runner fans, not a fan of them at all. Those people that weren't behind the Astros or whatever team when they were bad, that's their loss. But I will say I give the Rockets 4 to 6 years to contention as long as they add not a stellar piece, but maybe just a solid piece or two here or there. But let me hear what you have to say, guys.
Yeah. Listen, there's a lot of adding still. There's a lot of – and you can't just be young guys. Somebody like – well, I don't know that Theis is the addition that you're – but maybe along the way here, somebody sees some value in what the Rockets are doing and they add a really nice piece.
Well, that's why I mentioned yesterday – that, sure, Jalen Green is your dude. You hope Kevin Porter is. But I think anyone else is expendable if they show any type of progress and they can be used to go acquire a legitimate star. So that's why I said, sure, the promise of Şengün and others is great. But if it comes down to it, you could probably bet the timeline gets accelerated if a player wants to come here and you've got the prospects to trade for, because you have multiple picks from the Nets and you might have promising young players. That's how you acquire disgruntled players from other teams who are stars.
Ultimately, you're trying to find, like Maury's model was, find the dude, find the dude.
Find
he
star.
Kept looking, looking, and he's like, okay, got the dude, find the number two.
Mm.
The Rockets right now are at not at a number one yet that they know for sure, but it could be Jalen Green, but they don't know. But yeah, if they continue to operate like Daryl Morey, you're right. They'll trade in potential for the known commodity if they operate like Morey. And that would mean dealing the player that they just traded two first-round picks for, if that means that they can get a player who they know is the known commodity. Yeah, I mean, they could do that. But the other way that they could also build this is build it through the model that we have seen with Golden State, that we have seen with San Antonio Spurs years ago, we've seen with the Detroit Pistons years ago, which is build from the ground floor and not go out and give up a bunch of players for somebody else's, but grow your own. That's not that model's harder, but it's also, when it hits, it's sustainable for a long, it can be sustainable for a good run. The problem is that they're really starting at the bottom, I think, where Golden State, you saw some potential there, but Steph Curry became a much better player than where he was drafted. They didn't see that coming. And in fact, there was recently, who was I listening to? There's somebody on that was talking about the podcast where Monte Ellis, who said this? Where Monte Ellis said that Golden State offered up a package of either, or they offered, where did Monte get traded to? Was it Washington?
Was it Milwaukee? I don't know the timeline for Monte Ellis.
Where they offered, okay, you can either have Monte Ellis or you can have Steph Curry. Either one of these
guys.
Because Steph Curry was coming off a bunch of ankle injuries. And they ended up choosing Monte Ellis, the more known prospect. And Steph ended up becoming the player.
It was the 11-12 season, and they traded him to Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, okay. But Steph, they said you can have either Steph or Monte Ellis. And they chose Monte Ellis. But it felt like that team was a little further along than where the Rockets are. So I don't know, you know, sustainable is a relative term if it takes you 4 years to build something.
Let's get Chris in here quickly before we take a break. Hey, Chris, what do you think?
Hey guys, love the show. Hey, so I heard the last caller said 4 to 6 years. A couple years ago, if you guys remember, the Atlanta Hawks were garbage, and they drafted Trae Young. And I'm not saying, you know, by any means Jalen Green's Trae Young, but Trae only had 1 year at Oklahoma. He was a good shooter. People thought he was small, kind of like a little AI, and then they paired him with John Collins, who's a good kind of 3-4 kind of guy. You never know, Christian Wood could be that guy. I definitely think if any of the other draft picks the Rockets made this year, you know, a couple of the foreign guys turn out to be halfway okay, pairing with Christian Wood, and then Porter Jr. turns out to be halfway. I'm not saying we're, you know, our top 3 or 4 seed. We just sneak in at the 8 or 9 in the playoffs, and maybe, you know, then start getting a couple of people that want to come here and play. But I just look back to the Trae Young. You even think about Luka. The Mavericks weren't very good. You never know. You just need one player to kind of step up and be exciting. And I think we have a couple guys that could be that person, and then neither one of them can be the person. So, anyway, thanks, guys. I'll hang up and look.
No, I agree.
I think it's a pretty good point. Yeah. I mean, why can't Jalen Green be Trae Young?
Right.
Why not?
Did you see his extension?
Yeah, it was a monster.
He took $205 million.
But how about the step he took, though?
It was ridiculous. Ridiculous how good he got. And $205 million extension. Holy crap!
Mm-hmm.
What about your team?
What?
$90 million here, $90 million there.
Wait, what?
Aren't you worried about the owner and their money?
No, I've never been worried about some billionaire's money. What do I care? It's the most interesting aspect of sports where we got sports writers or fans yelling about the money spent. What do I care?
Yeah.
Like, oh, the Heat are paying this guy and this guy and this guy. And you're so concerned about flexibility. You know what? Pat Riley's like in his mid-70s. You think he cares about flexibility 3 or 4 years down the road? You think he cares about that? It ain't even his money, by the way. It's the other guy's money.
No, he don't care.
No.
He don't care. 814 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. If you would like to get in here, 713-780-3776. Yeah, some more college football news. Bad news, Tiger fans. We'll get it on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
You're listening to The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Miles Brennan, LSU quarterback, out, done, surgery on his non-throwing arm. So he is, his season is in doubt, certainly for a while anyway. That brings Johnson, Max Johnson, huh?
They went from a quarterback room where they had TJ Finley, he Brennan, Johnson, and now it's down to Johnson and Nussmeier, who's a really good recruit, but he's a true freshman. It's kind of thin. So you imagine that'll be Johnson's job unless he fails.
You know, there are a bunch of guys in the transfer portal right now that they could go grab.
Except they've already brought in 25 for the year, so they can't bring in anybody else.
They're done?
They're done bringing in guys for the year.
Nice job. So their base, and God only knows how long two quarterbacks can last.
Yeah, one hit changes the complexion of your entire season if you're starting a true freshman.
Holy cow. Apparently, Coach O is coming to town this summer. I've heard they're going to do a radio show here, and they usually do the Touchdown Club. So, and they do their own deal, though. They bring their own announcer and everything else. And so, but.
Because they don't trust the outside world.
No, they don't. They haven't. With Les, especially, because Les would. You'd ask him something, and he'd say something really dumb.
Need an answer?
Yeah, he can't. I think that's what it started. It started with Les.
I bet it is.
Yeah, it started with Les because Nick used to come, and I've emceed lunches with him, and then Les, and they were. I think they were just afraid that he'd say something ridiculous, so they had his whole talk scripted.
Is it a prerequisite now? If you're the LSU coach, for your media department to be scared of what you're going to say, like Les, and now you have to have a translator for Ed Ogeron, who, no matter how this plays out, you're going to have to hire another guy who no one knows exactly what he's going to say. Who could be next on the list?
Is it better to have Les that you didn't know what he was going to say, or Ogeron, you don't know what he's saying?
Less. It's no worse is less.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because Les can get you in too much
trouble. No, yeah. Orgeron. Well, Orgeron's going to get you into a little trouble, too.
Orgeron is the fun, like, oh, man, I don't know. That's well, cakey, no,
he's getting you in a little trouble, too.
Yeah, but Les, not what things he's saying,
not
is
what
he?
Things he says, no. Well, because nobody can understand him.
Les says things.
Well, I don't know if the LSU fan base appreciated Orgeron's admission that I hired a guy without ever meeting him.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if they appreciated that. This last go round with Bo Pelini,
but he did say I would hire him again. I don't know if he meant it, but
I can't believe he did.
I can't believe it either.
You know the video where Les, it's famous, where he talks about this is what he said. The video has been scrubbed from the internet.
Yes,
it does not exist. Somebody has gone out of their way to scrub this entire thing. Here's what he says there. No state has been more affected by the massive Deepwater Horizon oil spill than Louisiana. But those seeking answers may be better off asking someone other than Les Miles, who won a national championship at LSU in 2008. He was interviewed by 104.5 The Zone, to your point, a radio interview, on Tuesday, and the LSU coach was asked about the overwhelming spill. Here's the response.
No, it's
well, the impact is more of a, you know, anything along the shore. And those issues are very serious issues there. The impact is on the natural resource of our country. But I don't know exactly to what extent it's being handled well and managed or mismanaged. I have no idea.
I don't quite know how to answer this.
The only thing I know is very sincere, and it's it affects more than Louisiana. It affects the ocean. Swear to God, I read that transcription 100%.
I honestly believe. What is it? No, what, she didn't say.
She did.
What'd she say?
I sincerely believe.
Whatever.
What did she say?
I forget.
All of my hopes and
No, that was the worst. No, and he...
I personally believe.
There it is.
I personally believe.
Les, what do you think of it? Here, let's find out from Les. Les, what do you think about the huge fire that's going on with the oil spill in the ocean?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and
everywhere such as,
it's our education.
Oh, it's worse now.
Oh gosh,
Les, stop.
I don't know which one was worse though. If you want to know the truth,
Les is so bad. They literally scrubbed it from the internet.
You cannot find that anywhere.
You can't find this video anymore.
And it was famous. Les had that. He's got some mafia connection or something because he had that scrubbed.
So I was listening to a book on tape called So You've Been Publicly Shamed. And this guy named John Ronson covers different people who've been publicly shamed through Twitter and things like that. More than half of them through social media. And one of the things he gets to is there are companies and groups that you can pay, and it's expensive, to basically scrub you or scrub things that you don't like from the internet. This is what they do. They work on doing things like this. So someone has paid probably a substantial amount of money to scrub something that was a public interview. They've taken the video and the audio completely out. Doesn't exist anymore. To get that pulled off the internet, you can't just get things pulled off the internet. When multiple people aggregate a video and use it for their site, whoever did it paid some money, but that thing went away. That's how embarrassing that was to Les and maybe the school.
Yeah. 824 ESPN 97.5, 703-780-3776. Jeff wants to get in here. Let's get him in. Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I kind of wanted to talk about the Colts situation and get y'all's take on it. The injury kind of helps the Colts keep their first-round pick, obviously, because now Wentz is probably going to be out five or more games, so he doesn't play 75% of games this season. So it's only a second-round pick. Do you think the Colts might take this as an opportunity to kind of do an Andrew Luck tank where they're just bad for a year, and then they might have a top-five pick, and they could either
– Nope.
Draft a quarterback for the future.
There's
or
0% chance
do an Aaron Rodgers trade in the
Jeff
offseason.
They're not. No, there's 0% chance they feel like they still have a chance to win the division. They also said he's coming back, so no, there's no chance that they tank. They didn't tank when Andrew Luck was out. They just played without him so that they could get him ready. They're not going to tank now. They feel like they've got a defense and a run game that can carry that team, so no chance. But the point that you bring up is a valid one. Philadelphia is dying because Philadelphia looked at that as, okay, we are going to have a first-round pick here along with our first-round pick. We'll get the Colts. And that's not happening now. It's highly unlikely that he plays enough snaps, enough reps, Carson Wentz. And so Carson Wentz is going to bring them a second-rounder, not a first-rounder. That's a big loss for Philadelphia. Could be a big loss for the Colts depending on how long he's out, because I don't know if you've seen the roster, but it's let's see. It is Eason and Brett Hundley and Sam Ehlinger. Those are their quarterbacks. So sleep tight, Colts. Y'all better run the ball.
Oh,
it's a good thing they have Johnson,
Taylor, run the ball.
Marlon Mack,
and Quentin Hines. Nelson.
Yeah. No, they can run the football, but they're going to see a lot of eight-man boxes because Jacob Eason is going to end up being the quarterback.
Oh, you don't think Sam can do it? You're a hater.
My son Alex said that. I'm like, he's not... It ain't going to be Sam. There's also a reason they brought in Brett Hundley. They need somebody with NFL experience.
No, they don't. They got
Has Sam moved to tight end or fullback yet?
No, he's not a tight end or a fullback.
Why
he's going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL
H-back
this
yet?
Year.
A Has
hatred
he moved to the H-back
for
yet?
Your wife's team. Yeah. No. How about why stop? Why keep making fun of him instead of trying to
uplift.
Get on board with the
uplift
SEC?
Sam. Don't downgrade him. Try to uplift him.
It means more now that
up
his team is
Sam.
Going to SEC. Yeah.
Up with Sam.
Up with Sam.
Well, speaking of Sam, No, this is he's a middle linebacker.
No.
We're gonna do 20 for 20 on when we come back.
Well, you guys loved it so much yesterday.
Zach Cunningham. You people, you clamored for it now. I mean, yesterday the response was overwhelming how much you loved 20 for 20 when we broke down Brandon Cooks. Well, today it's Zach Cunningham, the Texans inside linebacker. We will do that on the other side per your request. I mean, it was amazing. The response yesterday. So we're going to do it again today with Zach Cunningham next on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:30 on ESPN 97.5. Art, can't wait. Off to the crapper, he says. But she probably got speakers in there, so he can sit and listen and enjoy this segment. So, damn, I hope 2020 was scrapped. Time to take, okay, stop with all the dump talk, okay? Kids are going to school and eating breakfast right now. So we're not doing dump talk. Coffee break time. Okay, people love this segment. That's what I love about it. People love
we did it
20
once.
For 20.
We're doing 20 of them.
We're doing
we
20
really
of them.
Honestly don't care.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we do care about the listener.
We do care.
No, we don't care if you don't like, if somebody on Twitter doesn't like it. We really don't care. We're doing it for a whole group of listeners. Play that funky music, Dell.
Okay.
There it is.
Zach Cunningham.
All right, Texans inside linebacker Zach Cunningham. He has been a starter every game he has played. He's only missed two games in his 3 years here. He had 14 games his rookie season, started all 16 last year. He is considered, where does Pro Football Focus have him as an inside linebacker on their list?
They have him solid. They have him a little bit higher than middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Up there higher. He actually really came on the second half of the season for them. So, and for the Texans in general.
Yeah.
He played much better the second half.
Yeah. So Zach Cunningham, who is the guy that they're sticking with. That's the guy, extending. That's the guy they got rid of Bernardrick McKinney, and Zach Cunningham is going to be the future. Zach Cunningham has been solid. You've got some stats that we need to look into.
Well, let's take a look at the advanced stats on Zach Cunningham. We can get to the tackle stats, but it is worth noting he played 1,086 snaps. He was second highest in the league with missed and broken tackles at 22, but to be fair to Zach, his missed tackle percentage total was 12.1% and was down in the 10% range when it came to just running plays, which was not as high as some of the other linebackers. So the percentage of missed tackles were not as high, even though the total number was. And maybe that's because he led the league for linebackers in tackles against the run with 92. Second place was 64. Almost 28 tackles more shows how often teams were able to run the ball at the Texans.
And get to the second level.
And Zach was making the tackles, but he had a lot of opportunities. It is worth noting another thing that I think is actually was a little bit surprising to me, his average depth of tackle. I figured it would be one of the worst in the league, but when you look at the top 12 linebackers in the league who have made tackles against the run, he actually ended up being number three behind from a percentage standpoint behind Bobby Wagner one and Josie Jewell was second. And other than that, I'm sorry, Alexander Johnson was second with 3.57. Average depth of tackle, 3.7 yards down the field. When you look at Roquan Smith from the Bears, 4.83. Jalen Smith from the Cowboys, 4.94 yards. 4.89 yards for Neville Hewitt from the Jets. Miles Jack was 4.29 yards. So Zach Cunningham getting a little bit more done, and that also matches up with his tackles for loss and tackles for no gain with 12. So that number relative to the linebacking crew ends up tying him for number four in the NFL for linebackers in terms of making impact tackles, tackles for loss, and tackles for no gain. From a coverage standpoint, he was not good, allowed 85.4% of his passes to be completed, even though a lot of those are going to be where he's assigned a man, so it's not real actual coverage. He did force an incompletion rate of 4.2%, and as a pass rusher, he had a win percentage of 16.1. He ended up with three total sacks for the year. Not a big sack man, but those are a look at some of your advanced stats for our friend, Zach Cunningham.
Stay or go?
I think the answer is clear. He's a stay. You mentioned Neville Hewitt. He's another guy that the Texans picked up. Zach Cunningham is a leader in that locker room. Zach Cunningham is a guy that we have seen that the guys seem to just the other day. One of the other guys that was picked, I think it was Shaq Lawson, was talking about Zach Cunningham and his leadership and his ability. While he's not great in coverage, my advanced stats here say 37 completions and 43 targets, which is 86% completion percentage, which is not good at all.
Keep in mind, though, a lot of those, if there's a man running it, you're not even close. Yeah. Or you're in zone, and if you're the closest in the zone.
The average depth of reception against him was only 4.4 yards. So, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. But 35 blitzes last year and three hurries, three sacks, and,
his win rate was 16%. You'd like for that to be a little higher.
A little bit.
He's not primarily a blitzer.
No, and I thought Bernard McKinney was better at it, if you want to know the truth.
He was substantially better. Yeah. He had real rush talent. I think what the interesting numbers are, in every year he's played, his tackle total has gone up.
Yeah.
Especially solo. A big tackle stat that I like to look at metric is solo to assist, because it says if you're a gang tackler or if you're a one-man show. And his solo tackles, his rookie year, 48 to 42 assists. But then 73 to 34, 99 to 43, and last year 106 to 58. So
led the league.
Yeah, and every year his tackle total has gone up. He has not missed a game, as you mentioned, over the last two seasons. Yeah, he is going to be a key component. And I think a move in Lovie Smith's 4-3 defense to the Will linebacker spot, where Lovie had guys like Lance Briggs, who had, and Hunter Hillenmeyer, he had them outside linebackers with great speed. I think Zach Cunningham fits that mold. I don't think he's the type of banger you want in the middle. We'll see how the Texans end up playing him. But I do think he's a guy who has he's not the fastest linebacker. He has decent speed, but his instincts and his ability to get to plays is on display when you look at his total tackles.
Yeah. By the way, 4 years here. He started 13 games in. And his advanced stats had 14, 4 years here and extended. And Zach Cunningham is a good, solid football player. Linebackers, especially if he stays inside, can last a lot longer because of what you were talking about, running, his ability to run. Mm-hmm. If he's going to be the Will, he's going to have to do a lot more. He'll do probably some more blitzing.
Yep.
He'll be coming from the outside, but he'll also have to go back in coverage, which hasn't been a strong suit for him. It really hasn't been a strong suit for him. But he's a keeper. The dude has been a very good player for you for these 4 years that he has been here, and he's just gotten better and better, as you mentioned. 106 tackles, 164 combined. Zach Cunningham is going to be here, and Zach Cunningham's a good football player. Is a fun football player to watch. We've seen him take some questionable routes to the holes. We've seen him not get there before, and especially the Bears game. Justin Reed as well. They both took terrible routes, and Montgomery ran 80 yards on what I believe was the first play of the game. We've seen that happen. But for the most part, Zach Cunningham has been a good football player for the Houston Texans, and he'll be here. I don't see them trading or Right. There's, I don't see, as opposed to Brandon Cooks, which you could get something for, I don't believe Zach Cunningham is that kind of guy.
So he signed a long-term contract, yeah. And I think they are going to build around him defensively. From a Pro Football Focus grade standpoint, he was the number 28-ranked linebacker in the league. Not awesome. But against the run, a big part of that was his coverage numbers were not great. And like I said, I think the coverage numbers are a little overblown because if you play zone, you are going to be targeted. You know, you catch a lot of targets when really you're not really the target. You can't even make a play on it. Against the run, what I care about the most is he was 10th. He had the 10th best grade at 72.7. And then as a pass rusher, he had a pretty decent pass rush number for linebackers. But, yeah, I think Zach Cunningham, was when it's all said and done from a Pro Football Focus standpoint, graded out in the run, from a run standpoint, pretty well after a terrible start.
Better.
He came on, yeah. From a coverage standpoint, still considered a weakness.
Better than we both had thought, though, because we thought, I had thought Zach Cunningham made a lot of tackles well down the field, when in fact he was one of the better linebackers in the league, stopping the run closer to the line of scrimmage.
And while the missed tackles are a little bit high, the missed tackle percentage is not as high as some of the other linebackers. You want it to drop under 10%. But when you make as many tackles as Zach had, and he was clearly head and shoulders from a tackle total against the run, especially ahead of everyone, all the other linebackers, there's a reason he missed 22 tackles. I mean, 23 tackles was the league leader in missed and broken tackles, but they didn't have as many total tackles as Zach. So not a bad season for Zach Cunningham when it was, you know, when the first half of the season I thought was poor. Well, the first four or five games were very poor for Zach Cunningham. Came on and then became much more consistent the second half of the season. I think the 4-3 change to Lovie Smith's defense is going to benefit him, but I'm not really looking at the statistics as much as I'm looking at impact on games. And the statistics are nice, but what kind of impact is he having on games? And he will shoot gaps. He will take chances. And I think at the Will linebacker, where he has a chance to just react and take on blocks a lot less, I think that is a big advantage for a linebacker who's not the most physical linebacker out there.
All right, that's Zach Cunningham. Everybody, 20 for 20. I know y'all are clamoring for 20 for 20.
Get some of that knowledge.
Yeah, that's what you just caught it right here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. In the meantime, you know what? I don't know about Zach Cunningham's hair. I just don't. I don't care. I do know about my own hair. I love what Doc Linville has done for me and for my hair and for my family and the love that I have now because of my hair. And yes, it is. It is definitely different. Hey, all my boys, they can't make fun of my giant divot out of the back of my head because what? Doc Linville, that's right. And here's the deal. Is it your boys and your, you know what? It's not like you're so vain that you just want hair. Remember the good old days when you had hair and you enjoyed your hair and people enjoyed your hair and you having hair? Yeah. I mean, it goes without saying when you do have it. When you don't, then it's like, oh, crap. Man. Oh, now everybody can make fun of my bald head. Well, they can't anymore because guess what? Doc Linville. What? That's right. And if you're looking for hair or any kind of plastic surgery for your wife, for you or your wife, Doc Linville does it all. He's the best. But you start with this, 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. The number, 713-780-3776. Amazing how much you guys love this thing. This 20 for 20. We appreciate it.
Let me get it. It's Art and Tom.
You know, a bunch of complainers. Cub fan Timmy, all of them. Okay. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Cool. They're the teams. They're the city's team, so sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No. We care about our players, and we actually want to talk some football in this city. Okay. Yeah. All right. And you guys just keep up with your jokes.
And Zach Cunningham, you know, looking at some of the advanced data, I'm like, oh, Zach Cunningham had a little better season than it was a mess on defense. They couldn't stop anybody. But Zach Cunningham didn't play as poorly as I expected.
Somebody have to make the tackles on a crappy team.
They do, and that's
just
why
like
I don't.
Somebody
give
has to get buckets. Yeah,
that's why I don't give him too much credit.
Yeah,
I mean Zach Cunningham played better than I expected. It's relative. It's all relative. He was not a top linebacker. I don't think he was. I don't think most teams would take him. If you had a top 10 linebacker draft, he's not going to end up in the top 10. But it doesn't mean that he didn't play a little bit better than I expected over the second half of the season. Over the second half of the season, we had Bill O'Brien drama, Jack Easterby drama. You had just, they were finding ways to lose. Their secondary was awful. They weren't stopping a run. Like, there was a lot of things to pay attention to. Zach Cunningham's tackle total and where his average depth of tackle was, that wasn't first and foremost on my agenda. But I did see him. He was better at finding his fits defensively, which is, you know, staying in his gaps, not making big mistakes. He played much better over the second half of the season. And that's, you know, and that was, hey, that matters because, and I'll tell you why it matters. It matters because it gives him a chance to build on something this year. You're going to have guys with starting experience in Christian Kirksey over there. It's still a linebacker core that is clearly going to need some help. But at least you got some guys with a little bit more pro experience than what you had last year starting next to you. And Matt Adams, that's not – No. Not Matt Adams. He's with the Colts.
No. It was Adams. It was
– Jarrell Adams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or was that the tight end? We had a couple Adams.
No.
Maybe it was Jarrell.
Who was 50? No, he's not 52.
He was 50.
Yeah. Wasn't good enough.
No, he wasn't.
Not enough experience.
So there's your Texans update. Astros tonight, McCullers against Buehler. This is one I think that you've got to have because you got Odorizzi against Scherzer tomorrow. Scherzer going to want to make a name for himself. Obviously, this is reminding me Scherzer to the Dodgers reminds me of Randy Johnson to the Astros back in the day in 98 or Verlander when he came over. He's going to pitch his ass off and he's going to start with the Astros and it ain't going to be pretty tomorrow night, especially when you're talking about Odorizzi. Not that Odorizzi he's picked it up obviously from when he started, but this is the kind of atmosphere when you give Lance McCullers the kind of money that you did in this offseason, this is the kind of game that you expect him to step up and be really, really good. It is a lineup. It's a team that's – the Dodgers are – I don't want to say – they're hurting. I mean, they've got some injuries, injury concerns that they're dealing with. I ain't feeling bad for them. That's for sure. But – you're going in here against a team that is fighting for the best record. They're every game because they got the Giants in front of them. They're going to, you know, try to. They're going tooth and nail with the Giants, and they hate you, and they hate you.
Have you seen some of the? I saw some of the stuff where people are saying, you know, they're showing Crips and Bloods when they were back in '94 when they were coming together after the Rodney King stuff, and they said Yankees fans and Dodger fans together. In their hatred of the Astros. And yeah, I'm really interested to see remember when Dodger fans who came in and embarrassed us.
Yes. That was just this year.
I mean, that was horrific. Yeah. Can you imagine what it's going to be at that park? This is why you have to spank them at their park.
Yeah. No, you got to shut them up. You got to shut them up hard. I got a question for you. You know, the Dodgers have been implicated in the cheating scandal as well.
No, it's different.
Yeah, no. No, it's really
it's
not.
It's different.
No, the Dodgers have been implicated
How?
As well.
How?
Well, the rumor was the biggest culprits were the Astros, the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Dodgers.
Where's the implication?
Where's the proof? Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah, where's the proof?
Whatever. I got a question for you. What's Cody Bellinger hitting?
Terrible.
And what did Cody Bellinger hit last year?
I don't know. Wasn't Cody Bellinger pretty good last year?
Awful.
Was it bad? This is the second year in a row.
This is,
you know what's interesting? Two guys who I thought were going to be big factors for them, Jock Peterson and Cody Bellinger, have just fallen off. Peterson's not there anymore.
No.
But, I mean, look at what Jock Peterson has done. It's been not good.
So when the alleged cheating scandal was going on, Cody Bellinger had an OPS of over 1,000. In 18, he had an 814 OPS. He had a 933 OPS in 17. Since the commissioner came down with the gavel and said no more, OPS 789 last year, 548 this year.
Wow. You remember how lost he was in that 17 series?
He is awful. Ever since Carlos told him to STFU, ever since Carlos told him, STFU, unless you know what you're talking about. This dude is bad.
See, it appears as though he is ST the FU.
Well, he's
bad is.
He really is awful.
Did he think Carlos meant his bat? Like, keep that bat quiet.
Is there any chance that Cody Bellinger was benefiting greatly from the cheating scandal? And ever since then,
he's been
garbage.
John, no one's cheating mattered except the Astros. And it wasn't cheating. They were sign-stealing and doing things like that. The Astros were also sign-stealing, but
it's more egregious.
Yeah, and it helped them more than it helped the Dodgers, who clearly didn't do anything wrong.
Cody Bellinger is trash. And I don't like to say that about major leaguers, but this dude with his mouth, the way he went about this thing, since he got lippy with our Astros and Carlos told him to STFU, he has been he's been a bad major league hitter. A bad major league hitter. So it's going to be totally sweet for Lance McCullers to fist one right on the fists.
Mm.
Right. No, on his fists.
You know, Keep going. Don't worry about it. Keep going. Yeah,
no, I didn't say anything about
it. I know. No, keep going. Yep.
No.
So it's going to be good for that.
Yeah, it's going to be great for that. Screw this team. Screw the Dodgers.
What do you think the odds are right now?
The Dodgers are going to be a big favorite.
So who are the who are your starters you have?
It's McCullers and Buehler.
You think they're going to be big favorites? Without looking, I'm going to guess they're going to be 150.
150 is a big favorite.
Yeah, that's pretty big. I'm used to going a lot higher these days.
So right at this point in our lives.
171. Ooh. I'm seeing minus 170 against the Astros. I guess I want to lose money.
Minus 180 at my bookie.
Yee-holy.
Plus 150 on McCullers. I think that's good. I think that's good value.
It is good value.
The Astros are minus 140 with a plus 1.5 runs. Money line. Let's go a little money line. Astros tonight. Don't let me down, Lance. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to buy a pizza, am I? Am I? I better be able to buy a pizza tomorrow, Lance.
Okay.
Okay? That's all I'm saying. No, I'm talking about colors, not you.
Okay. Buy a pizza. What are you talking about? Is this code?
Well, no. If I get a pizza, then I talk nice about you. But if I don't get a pizza.
Yeah, but not when you have to buy it. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, but Lance is buying it for me because I'm betting on him tonight.
Oh, okay.
Lance is buying it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean the guy's 7-2?
Yeah.
You might finally talk good about him?
Yeah.
Oh, that cool. Guy. I thought 7-2 guys usually have good things said about him.
I always talk nice about Lance McCullers.
Well, you're literally threatening him.
Well, yeah.
But if he doesn't win you money, then it's on.
No, then it will be on. That's right. Come on, Lance McCullers. Let's go. We're going for it tonight. Let's go. Money line. Astros plus 150. Over, under 8.5 runs. What you got?
I'm going to go under.
You going under 8.5 runs?
I think it's going to be... Yeah.
Yeah, I could see these two going back.
If you like McCullers winning, you like McCullers being on his game.
Two lineups, though, that are awesome. two awesome lineups.
It is. It is. They're both talented pitchers, though, too. And, you know, Chavez Ravine is one where it can be a little, the air can sit down a little heavier, so it doesn't, the ball doesn't always travel.
That's a big favorite, 180 over a Lance McCullers.
Yeah, I think so, too.
That's a big favorite. The atmosphere is going to be second to none. It's going to be fun. They're going to be ugly to our team. But you know what our team does when everybody's ugly to them? You know what our team does? They kick ass. That's what they do. They don't care about you.
Please say something about Jose Altuve.
Oh, they will. Oh, they will say something about Jose. Oh, are you kidding? Do you think they're going to have a chant like the Yankee fans did?
Well, I don't care. I hope so. I hope it can hear it. What happens when you say something bad about Jose Altuve?
You get your ass kicked.
You get grand slammed.
That's
what
you get.
He doesn't just kick your ass.
Yeah.
He hits grand slams on you.
I know he does. That's my guy.
Hey, Jim wants to talk about Chris Paul. When we come back, we'll get into former Rocket Chris Paul. And I got to tell you, I didn't know that he would make it to the end of this contract. Now, granted, he is opting out, so let's add that on to next year's deal. But he picks up three and another three. I want to talk about the potential legacy of Chris Paul and whether or not this is a smart move for the Suns. Only because he was a former Rocket, and I think it's an interesting contract because 16 years in the league, man, we're talking rare air now. Tom Brady's played a ton of football. Chris Paul's played a ton of basketball. LeBron's played a ton of basketball. We're starting to see some players extend their careers beyond the norm in NBA, and I want to talk about that contract when we come back. It's 8:56 here on the Bench.
ESPN 97.5.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save